of heaven and earth, come to the table of plenty. God will provide for all that we need here at the table of plenty. Oh, come and sit at my table, where saints and sinners are friends. I wait to welcome the lost and the lonely who share the cup of my love.
Good morning, my friend. I hope you're beginning the day or finding a moment near the end of the day that is as fresh as this day. Greg Lucamelli and I, who take time with each other occasionally to reflect on these podcasts, delight in summertime. I've seen pictures of his home and his family, and they love especially native flowers that are growing there. And this morning, I traipsed outside to take a picture of some daisies and shared those as Instagram this morning. Here in early August, life is still coming to be. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to think, well, let's pull up the tent sticks and, you know, it's time to pack it and maybe we're moving on. And that's true in a certain sense, but there's sort of a, in our time right now, there's a radical call to be born again. Now, in an unfortunate sense, and excuse me if I offend you, I believe that some people have held that wonderful appeal in Christian scriptures hostage. Because you and I are born again, which is to say, set free, not hostages to any religion or path. So take a deep breath and enter into this reflection if you wish. Early in our mountain life, and it has me smile because we made a t-shirt of it, a phrase arised one evening in the house, and Dave Longy and I always try to figure out who said it first, but it was simply hungry for God and good food. I think if we're honest, most of us at least can own up to one of those, and it's probably good food. So it's wonderful that today's readings for this Sunday, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Isaiah reaches out to us in chapter 55 and on. I mean, this is just this incredible prophetic call to the table. But not only to food, to the realization of who we are. It invites you and I to open our contemplative eye. How do I see what's going on in the world today? Do I feel responsible for those around me so that I do the simple things of hygiene? No, I'm not one of the good doctors who are trying to direct us that way, but I hope I'm not one of the politicians, too, who seem confused and undirected and almost competing with directions. Clear and simple, we've heard them, you know them by heart. What else do we know by heart? That we are hungry for good food, yes. And hopefully during these days you've been sharing some of that and might share it with people around you. And here right now, reflecting on how we might be hungry for God in times like this. How we might become even more alert to that hunger. Sometimes scary to admit we're hungry or admit that other people are. And that goes on in the gospel today. It's a beautiful one. You know it well. In Matthew, here it is, when Jesus had disembarked and saw the crowd, he was moved to pity, and he cured their sick. And then he realized it was late, and they were hungry. And the disciples say, tell them to go into the nearby villages, go away, get their food for themselves. And Jesus simply turns to them. Doesn't yell at his friends, which I'm inclined to do, and I ask apologies right now. Healing and forgiveness for ways in which my anger isn't of help, because Jesus simply says, bring them here. You have food. He said, feed them yourselves. And they say, we only have five fish. Pardon me, two fish and five loaves. And Jesus simply says, bring them here. The wonderful movement in this story is from seeing, not seeing, and seeing again. Moving out of a world of abundance because we get scared and we feel the scarcity and we think it's of food or people around us, and it really is, if we take time, the scarcity of relationships, of rootedness with each other and others. For all that we have, we can feel the disparate nature of our nation right now. Not intentionally divided, but in some ways, yes, but more historically divided. Terribly painfully so by race for a long time in so many ways that we've tried to explain away how blackness came among us as the wonderful people arrived here from Africa enslaved already. And we others, some of us, want to place our stories beside them, and it's important that we hear each other's stories. Because where scarcity seems to have abounded in our life, more and more you and I are called to hear Isaiah and know abundance even more abounds. And so we go from seeing scarcity right now to seeing this Lord say, hey, sit down and relax. Show me what we've got. We don't have to clear the house. People don't have to go away. Let's see what's here. What happens in healthy humans, people trying to grow up and be real, really human, is we reach in our pockets and say, what do I have? Which is probably what happened in that circle. What else is here besides the five loaves and two fish that were our excuse for sending them elsewhere? What else is in my life, or maybe yours, that would bring somebody in rather than sending them out? How do we reclaim, reheal, or find new relationships? So we move from a place of scarcity, seeing things as not being enough, to this phenomenal enoughness. And then we also feel another seeing. And that's the pain of Jesus looking around. In the abundance of his Father's love, he sees our hurt, our hunger, and our emptiness. And he cares. And he so wonderfully invites us into that place of caring. It's the implications of being hungry for food with Jesus, with God. Coming along with that becomes hungry for God. And within the seeing that evolves is the hunger for God's people and God's creatures. But not out of anxiety and no longer out of scarcity, not out of a feeling there's not enough, so how do we share it around? But there, if there isn't abundance apparent right now, we can arrive again at a more abundant time. We know how to get there. We've come from there. Abundance won't look the same the next time. It might be far more human. It might be far more fair. Abundance might be more about mercy and forgiveness and care. The wonders of the movement in our world these days are not only the movements of the seasons, but this day fresh as a daisy and gardens bountiful and world around me just full of goodness, might have me put aside what is beyond here. It's easy enough for me to feel the same way. Gee, Jesus, tell them to go somewhere else today. And yet in our desire to welcome people back in an appropriate way to the mountain, I need to welcome people into my heart, and I need to find new ways with you to re-enter the world and welcome others into the life that is all of ours. All of ours. All of ours. the food of fellowship and friendship, the food, the huge table that Isaiah talks about that goes on forever. And it is ours and everyone. And I don't know who I'm going to show up next to. We don't know who we're going to be beside. And the wonder is, if they're not our best friend, maybe they soon will be. So scarcity moves to abundance by the way we see, perceive, and move to action. Or as St. Clair would say, gaze upon him, consider, be guided by that, and follow. We now open our hearts with each other in quiet gratitude and in stillness once again as we pray that prayer that we share. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Have a very blessed day and a peaceful walk in quiet right now. From Greg and Dan, be.
And I could change the world with my own two hands, make it a better place. With my own two hands, make it a kinder place. With my own two hands, with my own two hands. Now I could bring peace on earth with my own two hands. I could clean up the earth with my own two hands. And I could reach out to you with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands, with my own, with my own two hands. I'm gonna make it a safer place with my own two hands. Gonna make it a kinder place with my own two hands. I'm gonna help the human race with my own.